Psalms 137. The context in the natural is when the children of Israel stopped worshiping God in the way that God had commanded them to do so. Stopped worshiping even to the point where they neglected to do the Passover. And at one point, when one of the kings that wanted to stay truer to God got put into office, they dig through the books in the treasury and they find this book that says, oh, by the way, once a year you're supposed to be doing this. And it seems, when you read about it in the historical books, it seems like it was kind of a surprise to them. Oh yeah, this is what we're supposed to be doing, this Passover thing. It says that we read it the other night that they had a Passover feast like they hadn't had for years and years and years since the time of David, maybe. And so we know that there was going to come this time when God was going to try to get the message across to them that they were not worshiping God. Bad stuff was happening, and because of what had already taken place inside their mind, God was going to allow them physically to be taken captive to a different country as a picture to them of what had already taken place in their mind. Now, he does give Jeremiah the prophecy that eventually they'll be turned loose and allowed to come back to Jerusalem, but there's going to come this 70-year period of time when they're going to be in captivity to a foreign nation. And not only in captivity, the small group that was left in Canaan, but there's gobs of them that were physically taken back to Babylon and kept in captivity there. So that happening in the natural to the children of Israel is a type of the early church going into the wilderness. What had been God's system of worship, what had been God's people, it just kind of got lesser and lesser and lesser, stopped worshiping God and how they were supposed to, and eventually their mind got taken back over by Babylon. And so this is a picture or type of the prophecy after the early church has gone into the wilderness. So he says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. So spiritually, this was what was going to happen to people who became spiritual Jews in the early church. Not those people specifically, but the knowledge of what God's spiritual truth was when that diminished. You know, it just didn't keep getting passed down like it needed to be passed down. And so the power of it got lesser and lesser. The reality of it got lesser and lesser. And more changes and perversions kept getting in. And so people ended up in spiritual Babylon in their mind. And so by the river of Babylon, rivers are water. So it pictures spirit here, a perverted spirit, because it's in Babylon, in religion. And so we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. And Zion, as we see in both Obadiah and in other places, it's a mountain and it pictures God's overall work, where God wants to place his name. It says that in several places. And so when people are able to remember Zion, whether it's even reading in the scriptures, the power that God would have and the effect that God could have on people's lives, we just heard about Jesus being able to perfect God's love within his life. There would be this weeping or compassion that people would have, whether it's on their own souls or even on God, for what God wasn't yet able to get across to mankind. And there would be this weeping and this compassion on their souls for really what they didn't have, when they're able to remember or acknowledge God's overall work that God in the scriptures promises us that he wants to have. So verse 2, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. On harps, of course, that's a stringed instrument, and we liken instruments that have the individual strings, like to line upon line, individual lines of thought. And so the preaching, that ability to give out God's line upon line, it's sort of like it's inactive. The harp isn't being played, it's hung in a willow tree. People didn't feel to play them. It wasn't a happy time. And so they're laying their instruments aside because it just wasn't where they wanted to be or what they wanted to be doing. Well, for many people, without the grace of the Spirit, there may be lines of thought, scriptural lines of thought, that have significance or meaning to them, but they don't have the power that God, again, wants them to have. And so here they are, still hung in the willows, and like a weeping willow, which again indicates his compassion for mankind not being able to have those depths of God. Verse 3, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. In the spirit realm, that ones that carry us away captive is evil spirits or evil angels, like it says in the New Testament, the devil taking people captive at his will. And so the ones that carry us away captive mentally is an evil spirit or the evil angel, lines of thought. And they're still wanting to require of us a song, meaning like the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, wanting people to speak out words of God, wanting people to preach out words of God, but with perversion. And so in verse 4 it says, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And the reality is we can't. We can't really sing God's message in the depth that He wants it sung when mentally we're in a strange land, when mentally we're in Babylon. It doesn't come out right. It doesn't come out with the effect in the depth that God wants for it to have. So then, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. What he's talking about here, and of course this didn't happen in the natural, but even to people, I say 300-400 years after the early church went out of existence. In the natural, if you think about somebody that has been taken literally captive out of Jerusalem into Babylon, and they're in this strange country, and they're being required to do things that don't feel right for them to do in this strange country. And the line of thought is, Jerusalem, my home back over there in Canaan, if I'd ever forget you, knowing that God wanted them to always remember Zion, to always remember Jerusalem and the worship that the natural Jewish people were able to give to God over there, that if I ever forget that that's where your name is and that that's where I learn about you, God, then he says, let my right hand forget her cunning. Right hand means seed ministry. If I ever remember that that's the depth of spirit that I want, then don't let my ministry work is the idea. Of course, in the natural, somebody that's in a spiritual wilderness after the early church wouldn't have this kind of awareness, but in the natural, that's the picture that God's trying to give. If you're taken captive into a foreign country, then don't ever forget Jerusalem. And if you're not able to really affect Jerusalem in your mind, then don't let the ministry work. Verse 6, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. So this is a comparable. Let your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth would mean that you couldn't talk. So if I don't remember, essentially, where God is and what God really is, then just don't let me be talking about it anymore. If I'm not able to really effectively speak out God's words, then I just assume not talk nonsense. So verse 7, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem who said, raise it even to the foundation thereof. So in the natural, when these people actually do get taken captive, they destroy the temple. They smash it to pieces. They burnt the city. The place was gone. But in the spirit realm, the children of Edom is Lucifer, and so the children of Edom is any offspring of Lucifer, whether it's an evil angel or evil spirit thought in our head. And that is their job, is to try to destroy Jerusalem. They don't want Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem, to stay in existence. They want it completely destroyed, whether it's in our mind or anybody else's mind. They want it destroyed. And so needing to keep that in mind is the idea here, that there's an evil angel out there someplace that wants to destroy Jerusalem completely down to the foundation of it. They just don't want it to exist at all anymore. So verse 8, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. So if this sounds similar to scriptures that you've had in Revelation, it ought to, because it's the same idea. This daughter or offspring of Babylon who art to be destroyed, that is God's hope, that is God's purpose. He wants the offspring of Babylon to be destroyed in our head and worldwide. And we are going to be happy when we can reward Babylon as it has rewarded us. In Revelation it says, double unto her double, as the cup that she's filled unto you, give it back. So whatever evil spirit that has been plunked into our head, the idea is put grace at least double on top of it, meaning to judge it back out of existence. So whatever evil spirits have tossed our way, God says toss grace right back. So 9, this is a scripture that we do here from time to time. happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. And we hear it because it's kind of an odd sounding scripture. But what he's really talking about there is the little ones of Babylon, the ideas that Babylon produces. We can be happy when we're able to grab a hold of an evil spirit line of thought and smash it against the witness, the stone that God has given us in our head. We're able to compare the witness that God has given us to an evil spirit line of thought and smash the evil spirit against the truth that God has given us and stop it in our head. And that can bring on the happiness that God wants us to have.